Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, Art Prize has exceeded 1,000 entries for the first time in 8 years. We discuss the West Michigan Housing Summit happens on August 6th. We get a preview. AARP presents its annual 99 Great Ways to Save. We talk about saving your money. We talk to the author of The Way of Befriending, and Preston has a new restaurant opening soon. We talk to Sarah Andrew of Watusi.
And did you know this Art Prize competition has exceeded a lot of entries? So, Coleman Brook, let's bring you back in. You are Coleman Brook Sr. and all about this exciting opportunity to, share some good news. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Eat, live, and drink Art Prize, probably more so than just 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. You do.
Yes, all day, every day.
What's been happening underneath the Art Prize, coming in September?
So we are definitely gearing up. We're in heavy planning mode, crossing all the T's, dotting all the I's, getting everything ready for this fall, for a longer calendar footprint, as well as a bigger show than we've had in a long time.
Thank you. A new leadership with Tyler at the helm, you as deputy director, and of course, good things when it comes to 1,000 entries. What's the big deal with this?
Yeah, so this is the first time we've hit quadruple digits in over 8 years. So it's the first time since the pandemic, the first time since this new organization structure of the public-private partnership. So it's a big milestone for us and for the team, and kind of showing the rest of the community that Art Prize is growing, and we're getting back to how things used to be in the old days.
Yes. Never forget year one, that's for sure. To what do you attribute over 1,000 entries for the first time in 8 years, Coleman? What's the gut feeling here?
Definitely, first and foremost, the hard work that our team has been doing behind the scenes. We've been working pretty tirelessly to try to smooth out some processes and try to acquire as many artists as we can for this year. But it's also the support of the community, both corporate sponsors, individual donations. We couldn't do this without the support of everyone that helps make this happen.
And at this point, here we are, July 24th. I imagine you could tell me how many days, hours, and minutes until September 18th, but I won't put you on the spot. Where are we in the planning? Everybody's been matched. I'm sure some of the artists are working on their art and more.
Yes. So art entries are matched with venues. We have over 155 venues signed up this year, which is also more than previous years, and over 1,000. I think we're almost 1,020 entries. So I believe we're approaching 100 entries more than last year. So it's a significant jump, but everybody is matched, everybody is signed, and getting ready to figure out their installations.
Yes, that's a project in itself. Coleman, the Art Prize is September 18th to October 3rd, but tell me more about Preview Week.
Yeah, so we decided to bring back Preview Week, which was something that the early Art Prize team did many years ago, and it really gives the city an opportunity to see some of these amazing entries before the majority of crowds descend on the city, and it's really an opportunity for us to welcome the world to Grand Rapids together.
So how does a Preview Week work?
So it's before voting starts, before the competition begins, before our big official kickoff, but it's a more intimate first look at some of the entries to kind of slowly build some hype and be able to share what you think some other people should see, and you can share with your friends and family, and it's kind of just an intimate first look at some of the entries before the competition.
It's kind of what it's all about, seeing the art, telling a friend about the art, and discussing.
Absolutely.
In the end. Coleman, how will voting work? And obviously, we'll be talking again before September, but what's this year? How will I vote?
Yep, you can vote right on your mobile device. All of our voting information will go live here in the next few weeks, but all of that information as it rolls out can be found at artprize.org.
Great. And obviously, activities will be in abundance for the kids.
Yes. Yeah, we are doing quite a few different activations this year. One specifically I'm excited for is something we call Doodle Street, which will be a kids-focused activation at Downtown Market.
Yes. And, of course, you're in your is that Calder on your shirt, or is that your Art Prize emblem? Or
It's the Art Prize emblem.
And I trust there will be a whole store for me to purchase my Art Prize material, yes?
Absolutely, yes. Both on the website, and we will have a few physical locations where things are available as well.
Is it too early to talk volunteers?
It is never too early to talk volunteers. So in addition to the generous financial support that Art Prize relies on, we also rely on volunteers and their generosity of their time and their energy. You can sign up to be a volunteer and help us put this thing together. That information could also be found at artprize.org.
We'll be pleased to put on your favorites again. Coleman Brook with us, Senior Deputy Director for Art Prize, on its way back to our world, formally voting September 18th. Don't forget the preview week. And then just give me a tease. You'll have an opening ceremony, a closing ceremony, and more.
Yes, we are planning quite an exciting opening ceremony. It should be able to announce that here in the next week or so. And then our awards ceremony will also be the largest ever.
Ooh, that's a tease. As you do go big, that's for sure. How do we describe Art Prize to someone? Come on down to Art Prize and someone says, what's Art Prize? What's my elevator pitch in general?
It is a radically open art competition that takes over an entire city. It really transforms an entire metropolis into a gallery of art. Over 1,000 entries spread over 155 makeshift galleries in different cafes, bars, restaurants, public parks. It's quite the thing to behold.
Yes, I'll write that down. Free, open to all, and yes, art for everyone. And then lastly, do you encourage artists as much as possible to be by their work? It's always exciting when an artist is by his or her work.
Yes, and it's something that visitors can definitely notice. And artists love to talk about their work. And that is kind of a unique interaction that happens at Art Prize, being able to speak to so many different individual artists about what the competition means to them, what their piece means to them, and their artistic journey that led them here in the first place.
And I know, again, we'll talk about this again in the future, but there will be an overall prize awarded.
Yes, there are several prizes awarded, including the grants that some artists have won that have allowed them to come to this competition. But the prize pool, both juried and public vote, will be the same as last year.
And expand again on how we can and should get involved, either volunteering, sharing an elevator pitch, or even financially, yes?
Yes, you can find all of that at artprize.org/support. You can figure out how to become a corporate sponsor if you're a business owner, or an individual donor if you're feeling generous, or volunteer if you have some extra time and energy on your hands.
And for sure, see the art. That's a no-brainer. We'll talk again, Coleman. You got a pretty have a pretty cool poster too, don't you?
We sure do. It has a lot of influence from, you know, America's 250th anniversary, as well as Grand Rapids. We really think Grand Rapids is quite the special place to allow this to happen in the first place.
Bigger and better, this 2026 Art Prize. Artprize.org again?
Artprize.org.
And all the socials. Coleman Brook, thank you very much for your good work, and we'll talk again.
Thank you.
West Michigan Housing Summit right around the corner, so we discussed to get you prepared and in attendance. Jen Rattas, Senior Manager at Housing Next, one of the wonderful partners. Good morning to you, Jen.
Good morning.
August 26th, the date is set. Housing leaders, developers, policymakers, community stakeholders gathering, and we'll get you all the details. Jen, talk to me about why have a West Michigan Housing Summit.
Yeah, we're really excited. This has been something that we've been really wanting to do and just pull all of our partners together. We're working with the tri-leads with Regional Housing Partnership and MISHTA, and really excited about getting a group of people together and getting on the same page and message and just having some great discussion.
We'll get into the themes in a minute. Exactly when and where, please?
Yeah, it'll be August 6th. It's an afternoon summit, so it'll start at 1 p.m. We're hosting it at Grand Valley, right at the DeVos Center.
And, of course, more information, where will I ultimately turn?
Yeah, at the Grand Rapids Chamber, on their website, they have an events page. You can register right there if you're interested in attending. Pretty simple to find all the registration, more details right on that page.
And how is your Housing Next involved?
Yeah, we are hosting that with the Regional Housing Partnership, which is a MISHDA's program. We're one of the tri-leads, so we are running that with the Right Place and the Urban League. We represent Region F of Michigan, which is 13 counties in West Michigan area, and so very large region. And we work with MISHDA just to help them promote their statewide housing plan and other housing grants and just funnel through that.
West Michigan Housing Summit, who should be attending?
Right now, we have a really good, diverse group of people coming. We have local governments that are planning on attending, developers, nonprofits, anyone that is in the housing world and wants to hear more about barriers and what they can do, how they can be a part of it. Anyone that is right now trying to help with affordable housing and grant programs, TIF, LIHTC, all these conversations will be had in some way or other at the summit. So really anyone in the housing world would be a great asset to have.
Okay, I'm going to get into the specifics here in a minute, but my notes do tell me the summit is built around a single goal, moving beyond conversation and toward coordinated action on the region's most pressing housing challenges and opportunities. So will your guests leave with, shall I say, action items?
Yes, that's our goal. We've had so many conversations for years now in West Michigan of what should we be doing? How can we help and add more housing in this area? What does that look like? And so our goal is really to have an optimistic outlook of there are things we can do. There are things we can work together and achieve. And we've had some great housing bills passed in this past week and other things now. What do we do forward? So lots of tangible from legislation to developers, what can we do? How do we help?
Who kicks your session off, please?
Ryan Kilpatrick from Flywheel and Sam Cummings are going to be starting the event. They have some great outlooks, some great reports on where we're at and where we can go. So that'll be a great conversation to start off.
And tell me more about your closing keynote entitled Building Optimism.
Yeah, Kobe Lefkowitz, he is coming in. He is an author of Building Optimism, What a World Looks Better, Works Better, and Feels Better Could Look Like. He has a lot of experience in many communities, so he's really able to come in and see what we're doing and look at other communities, what they've done, what we've done, how we can take from other communities, and also how we can teach other communities what we've been doing, because we have been doing a lot in Grand Rapids and West Michigan. So he's just really knowledgeable and bringing a lot of good, positive challenges that I think will be really good to hear.
West Michigan Housing Summit. It's August 6th from 12:30 to 6-ish, Richard M. DeVos Center. Of course, that's Grand Valley's Pew campus. We'll give you the details of how to find out more near the end. Jen Ratta's Senior Manager, Housing Next, instrumental in making sure this happens. Tell me about some of your targeted breakout sessions that do address critical housing issues, Jen.
Yeah, we have six great breakout sessions, two sections, so everyone can attend at least two. We have some great legislators coming in. We have Rep. Aragona and Rep. Wooden confirmed that they will both be there talking about removing barriers on the state legislation level, what that looks like. We also have Cy Richardson from the Urban League coming in, and he's from the national branch, and he's coming in to talk about housing equity as a regional growth. We've had some great public engagement sessions and corridor strategies, so on the very targeted local level, what that looks like, and really just abroad. We have such a broad region of people. We have urban and rural, and every county has something different even on that level. So we really tried to have something for everyone. So we know that it's not a one-size-fits-all. Everyone coming is going to be interested in something different and need something different for their community. So we really tried to have a broad topic so everyone finds something.
I'm looking at some fine print in my prep materials, Jen. Will there be some features in attendance from, say, Degage, North Kent Connect, perhaps Family Promise that deals with housing?
Yes, absolutely. They're also going to do a panel on effective response to homelessness. North Kent Connect, like you said, Degage, Family Promise, they're huge partners in working right now on their Pathways mission of homelessness and what we can do right now to solve that as well. So that'll be a whole nother topic that people will really be interested in and will bring some great perspective.
Do you ask for reservations for this West Michigan Housing Summit?
Yes. Yep. So there is registration. Right now we're targeting over 200 people coming. So there is spots limited, but we do still have some openings. So definitely hurry up and register if you're interested. You can find that all at the Grand Rapids Chamber website, and registration is right on that events page for the Housing Summit.
I think that's grandrapids.org for the Chamber.
Yes.
And housingnext.org for you?
Yes.
Anything else when it comes to Housing Next and your future plans for this 2026 that has 6 months left?
Yeah, we're just really excited. This will be a huge piece to moving forward, getting a lot of feedback, getting a lot of action steps. We're having a lot of reports from this. All of the information that we gather from here, we're really hoping to have more webinars in the future and dig deeper into these conversations. So we know this is just the start, and there will be a lot more information and conversations to have moving forward, especially at the second half of this year. We really want to dive further into these topics and provide communities with just information and more educational opportunities. So definitely keep looking forward to that and attend more webinars if you're able to. Reach out to us if you have topics that you want to discuss. We're happy to talk more.
Important day. That will be August 6th. Thank you, Jen Rattas, on behalf of Housing Next and the West Michigan Housing Summit. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Stephen Perrine on the line, AARP Bulletin Executive Editor, to share smart strategies helping Americans fight inflation and rising costs. This is a required, obviously, opportunity as you, Stephen, presenting 99 great ways to save. How important is this conversation?
Well, inflation's up, grocery and gas prices especially, so AARP is stepping in to help members and all of us save a little extra money.
Wonderful. And this all comes out according to your work with the AARP Bulletin?
Yes. So it's our cover story. We've been doing it for 17 years, 99 ways to save.
Wonderful. All right. Obviously, we won't go through all 99. I am simply your messenger. Let's ask a couple of basic questions. Yes, grocery prices remain high. So, Stephen, talk to me about an easy way to save at the supermarket.
Well, one of the things you can do is go around to various different stores. Don't just shop at one place. I like to hit the big box stores to get those things that I need in bulk, but I have a small family at home. So I'll also hit discount stores. I'll look at the store label brands, which can save you pennies or even dollars over the big brands. Another trick is to use those pre-order apps where they will package the groceries for you and you just pick them up. There's a reason why every single grocery store in the world has the milk all the way in the back, because they want you to have to go through those aisles, and that's why you go in with a list of five things and come out with five armloads. So that can really save you a lot of money.
Sounds like even Stephen Perrine does that, and that's okay. Talk to me about AI. We know it's becoming part of our everyday life. How can it help people save money, according to your bulletin?
So, you know, whenever you're dealing with customer service reps, whether it's fighting the insurance company or trying to get those late charges or those extra fees reversed, it can be very nervous-making. Talking to customer service reps is stressful and hard. But by using AI, you can have a little bit of a coach helping you through those conversations and helping you claw back those extra fees. So plug into the AI exactly what you need, your points, why you deserve to have these fees reversed or what have you, and then let it generate a script for you. You can use that script in your conversations, and it's a great way to kind of master the art of customer service rep management.
Let's move on to online shopping tricks that can help us avoid paying more than we need to. What's your tip here?
Oh, here's a sneaky trick. When you're buying from an online retailer, go ahead and put all your items in the online cart, but don't press purchase. Instead, close your browser, step away from the computer. Within the next hour or two or three, you're going to probably get an email that says something like, "Did you forget about us?" Most of us don't bother to open those emails, but do, because in about a third of the cases, they're going to be sending you a discount code that you can use to get money off of the purchase that you were going to make anyways.
Smart. Again, there are 99 ways to save, according to AARP Bulletin Executive Executive Editor Stephen Perrine on the line. Tell me how, before I ask a couple more questions, Stephen, how did you gather these 99 great ways?
So we've been doing it every year for 17 years, and one of the things we look at are the trends, what's happening with prices, where do people need to save the most, and then what's the technology that we can use, things like AI, for example. We really focused a lot on gas and groceries, which is where people seem to be getting pinched the most today.
Yes. Let's move on to travel, expensive this summer. Where are we overspending without realizing it?
Well, we talked about gas prices. The first thing you should do if you're going to take a road trip this year is go out to your car and remove a roof rack if you have one. That can add up to 25% to your fuel cost because of the drag it creates as you're driving. Now, then, before you head out on your road trip, make sure you fill your car up. And when you're going down the highway, do not do what I do, which is to wait until you get down to empty and then panic. Because as my grandfather Fred used to say, that's how they get you. Gas prices right off the highway can be as much as 40 cents a gallon more than gas prices just a mile or two off. So when you get down to about a quarter tank, go ahead, get off the highway, travel just a little bit, look for those cheaper gas stations. It's going to save you a lot of bucks.
Been there, done that. What's one tip from this year's list that actually surprised you the most, Stephen?
It surprised me how easy it is for me to save $200 replacing my own air filter in my car. I can buy it off of an online retailer for $25, and then I can go on YouTube, and even someone who is completely mechanically uninclined as myself can use a YouTube video to change my air filter and save quite a bit of money.
Sorry, learn from Stephen. Tell me where we find these 99 ways to save.
Sure. Go to aarp.org/99ways to save. You'll find all of these tips, plus those sweet, sweet AARP discounts if you sign up.
Wonderful. Double duty you do. Executive director, of course, of the AARP Bulletin and the AARP The Magazine. Keep up your good work, and thanks for these tips.
Oh, thank you.
Parse Basile on the line. His latest book is out, The Way of Befriending. Let's get right into this conversation. Anything with the word friend in it has my vote. You blend deeply personal stories, practical tools, and original songs. So your talents presenting to The Way of Befriending. Good morning to you, Parfait.
Good morning.
Yeah, I'm good. Appreciate you. Let's get right into the inspiration for you to write this book. Why write The Way of Befriending?
Yes, two reasons come to mind. Firstly, the data is really alarming. Recent studies have shown that one in three adults in our country is experiencing loneliness, and every other youth we come across is likely to be experiencing loneliness as well. So there's a relational crisis. And, you know, while there's multiple attempts to explain the reason why, right, we talk about technology and our polarizations and so forth, in the book, I really try to look at substantively what are the things I've noticed that are the core of these experiences of loneliness. And one of them is, I believe we've lost the art of staying in relationships with people we disagree with or people who are kind of the other. And so a desire to really try to figure out a way for us to move towards one another and be kind of that unexpected presence for one another was what drove me to write this book.
Yes. If I hope you have the answer for us all, what holds us back from taking steps toward befriending?
You know, there's a number of things, but two of them that I really outline in the books is first our trauma stories, the wounds that we've had in the past relationally, and also what I call the storylines we tell ourselves about the other. And those storylines come from either our own past stories or things we've heard, the ways we've been socialized to think about the other. And so, and then the other piece is the lack of skills. We all suffer from the things that we either don't know how to handle or deal with, or we don't have the skills for it. And so that's why in the book I offer a lot of stories, not only to inspire us, but also tools, practical tools that folks can use in various contexts in order to really lean into those challenging situations and not rupture away the relationship, but hopefully be able to transform it.
What was a challenge for you in writing the book?
Oh, where do I begin? Right, we are a very divided nation, right? And so how do you even begin to write a book that is aimed at talking to everybody, right? We all have our echo chambers where we get our news source, where we listen to our music, and the list goes on. And my hope in this book was that, you know, I talk about how over 20 years of doing consulting work and working with organizations on how they can create cultures of belonging, I've gotten to talk to a wide spectrum of people, you know, law enforcement folks on one end, and then the next moment I'm talking to community members who've lost a relative due to law enforcement, you know, people on the left, people on the right, people who have been hurt by faith communities, and people who just only think of the world and make sense of the world through their faith lens, right? And so I talk about how this book, if I could bring all those people into one room and speak to them heart to heart, this book will be it. And so being able to strike the right tone, the right messaging that can speak to different people's sensibilities was a challenging thing. But I think I got there.
Yes, for sure. The Way of Befriending is the latest by Parfait Basalay. Tell me a little bit more about where your singing and your songwriting play its role. What part has music played in your mission to bring people together?
Yes. So one of the things that was super excited about this project and the book is that it's actually a multimedia project. So with the publisher, we were able to have song lyrics referenced in the book so that the reader, as the reader is reading the manuscript, they can use a QR code to access actually the live performance of the song. And so that's a full experience. And the reason why that's very important and very powerful, I believe, as part of the book is that music, you know, in my own personal story, as I migrated from West Africa within the West African context all the way to the United States, is that every time I was in places and being reminded that I was the one who didn't belong, that I was the outsider, music was the one thing that helped me deal with my emotions and that feeling of rejection. And so when I shared these songs in various settings with people, surprisingly, everybody will come afterwards and be like, oh my gosh, I resonated with that song. That song spoke to me. Because fundamentally, I believe all of us, no matter our differences, have experienced what it feels like to be on the outside looking in. And so by singing songs and using songs, there's a way to speak to the heart and the mind in ways that words alone cannot do all the time. And so that was my attempt, if you will, to really speak to all of us and all of our intricacies, both the mind, the soul, and the spirit, as I'm inviting us towards considering a different way of dealing with our divisions.
What else would you like to share with us?
I guess so much, right? But one thing that I probably would like to share is that the research, this is not just feel good, you know, hopeful, aspirational invitation in the book. It's really backed on the research, years and decades long research that really tells us the most self-serving thing that we can do for ourselves is really to move towards the other. in ways that are unexpected. We actually gain from it, and oftentimes we can find an unexpected healing pathway for our own stories of woundedness around belonging. And so the research really backs this up, and I highlight some of that in there in the book. But yeah, the book is available everywhere. It came out June 23rd, and everywhere people get their books, you know, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, you name it, or, you know, audiobooks as well, it's available for folks to get.
Wonderful. Yes. Thanks for your good work, known for making a memorable impact, your unique approach, combining your storytelling and interpersonal neuroscience, and of course, more. Thank you, The Way of Befriending, Mayu Parfait Basile. Thank you. Watuzi, soon ready for you out and about. You've been with pop-ups and more. I'm looking forward to this conversation here on this platform. Good that you are here, Sarah Andrew. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
The many talents you have in our own backyard. Deli Minima, you considered, star of the show for the next 10 minutes as well. So, Deli, good morning to you.
Good morning.
How's that pumping you up? All right. All right, I've been doing some background checking, and yes, you are now ready for this microphone. And ready, Sarah, what, for kind of a new opportunity?
Yeah, very exciting. We're opening a very small little takeout restaurant in the Creston neighborhood on College and Leonard.
Yes. Take out the key here?
Yeah, I mean, we have four tables inside, so it's small, it's cute, it's quaint.
Well, maybe as we get into this, maybe part of why you're doing this. Tell me more about you, Deli.
I am from Grand Rapids. I'm a tattoo artist. Originally, that's what I do. I've never worked in a restaurant. I just love to cook. Wow. So I love to cook. I love to watch people eat my food, and hopefully that's what we'll get to see a lot of, is people eating our food and loving it.
Yes. How'd you two to get together, Sarah?
So we actually met because of Silva. So he is an artist in a lot of ways, and he is a musician, a singer. So we put together, before we opened Silva, you know, shortly after starting the project, we did a variety show at Wealthy Theater, and he was one of the performers. And
see how this
we met that
works.
Day, and then
yeah.
It's been ever since.
You like to cook, and we, you know, people.
And I like to run restaurants.
And you like to run. and remind me, Silva, are you
yes.
still a Silva? Or are
no.
we moving?
Yes. Nope, done. Beginning of March, we parted ways, and I've been working on this since.
Yes, as you should move on. Watuzi, talk to me about the name.
I don't really know where the name came from in my brain. We were sort of in the planning stages of doing this, and, you know, obviously that's something you have to do with a business is name it at some point. And I have been through the process several times, so I kind of know how it works. So we started working on it, and just, I think you just sort of start name grabbing, you know, in your brain. And it was just one of the things that I threw out to him. And as soon as I said it to him, he was like, yeah. And then we started researching what the meaning is. And it's a lot of things. It's a, you know, as I told you, it's a dance craze from the 60s, but it's also a tiki drink. It's named after an African tribe called the Tutsis, and it's also named after a form of or a herd of cattle, which are abundant and wealthy and strong and all that. So we liked all the associations with it, and it's really an underused word in vocabulary. There's only one business in South Carolina named after it, so
it's kind of what you need to do.
Yes,
find your niche.
Correct.
And I like this. It looks like the little bull horns.
Very
here
cute. Yep.
Deli, when you contemplated opening a restaurant with Sarah, thoughts that, this is the next step in your phase, as they say.
Yeah, it's actually really surprising because I was less nervous to open a restaurant with Sarah than I was to open two tattoo shops. And I have, like I said, I don't have any experience working in a restaurant. But before I opened up my tattoo shops, I was tattooing. But I'm just super confident in my food. And then Sarah, if you know Sarah and you know restaurants, I don't think there's a better person to open a restaurant with.
That ends that discussion, that's for sure. All right, Sarah, where are you located?
1220 College, Northeast. Right there, on the corner of Carrier and College. So Leonard and College. We share a parking lot with College Inn.
Yes. And there was a prior restaurant there before?
Yes, it was a Thai restaurant called Mai's Thai.
Yes. And what will we be eating? I'll go back to you, Deli.
We'll be eating all sorts of things. So we're really seasonal focused. So right now, summertime, I mean, who doesn't love a barbecue in the summertime? So we'll be eating a lot of barbecue in the summer. We have a thing on our menu called the knuckle sandwich, and I can say we're the first people anywhere to have a knuckle sandwich. It is a barbecued turkey knuckles, then slow braised. So they just pull apart with a homemade blueberry barbecue sauce, a slice of cheddar cheese on some milk bread, and it's toasted. It's amazing.
Is that your creation?
It is, yes. We'll be eating beans and rice. I love to make soups and chilies in the wintertime. A lot of hearty things. And really, I'm like, I consider myself an old grandpa. Like, people come in, I'm trying something, and I'm just, here, try this. Let's see how you like it. Let's see how you love it, you know. And I kind of want the same thing with our restaurant. So it'll always be changing, but it'll be great food.
Sounds like customer service will be key.
Yes, very key.
Sarah, where are you in the opening status?
So we're pretty much ready. We're August 2nd is going to be our first official week. So it's not our grand opening. We'll do that later when everyone's kind of back in the swing of things in Grand Rapids. So like September, we'll do something. But that'll be our first full week of business.
Have you been having some pop-ups? If I walk by, can I, you know, peek in?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. What about staff deli and those? I mean, are you Chef Deli or?
So right now I am Chef Deli. But the goal is to be poppin' Chef Deli, right? We would really love a chef that is able to create my food and work with me, you know, super well in the kitchen. I think it's important for us to have a symbiotic relationship, me and whoever we choose to work in the kitchen, because at the end of the day, I love tattooing, and I would really love to tattoo. I want people to eat my food. I don't always want to be the one making my food, though.
that's called how the sauce is made.
Yeah.
Sarah, what do you take from Silva to this new role of yours?
Well, I mean, obviously, Silva was an amazing project to work on. I was there for 3 years. And I think the biggest challenge for me in this project is just coming off of something so quickly and having to be, you know, I pulled so much of my creative experience in life and put into Silva. So it was a little bit of a challenge to kind of get in a new creative space. When you put yourself into so much, it's hard. But it just sort of started to come together. And I mean, we have so many great friends and family that I tell everyone that they sort of believed in Watusi before I did. I think that the force of everyone else around me, you know, like once we started going, they really picked up the momentum and started pushing it harder than I did, really.
I think it was really hard to find that balance between Silva and Watusi, because Silva, like she said, put so much all into it creatively. It's like you put so much all creatively into something, now you're starting a new project that you want to put all of your creativity into, and it's 100% yours, but can't replicate.
Which is kind of fun to see.
Yeah.
It is.
No,
it's
yeah.
a challenge, and it's good to be challenged,
yeah.
right?
Even designing the inside was pretty hard, because it's like, well, is that too silvery? Are these too silvery colors? And it's really, Silva was such her heart, you know, and then
the colors, this, the yeah. shapes, the, you know, the
everything.
Nostalgia, like it just, it's, yeah, recreating.
It is that. How do we find out more information about Watusi?
Well, we don't have a website yet. I'm very bad about the admin stuff, but we're
social media.
Social media, Facebook, heavy. Instagram.
Or really just pop into Watusi, 1220 College.
Yeah,
we're there
all the time.
We're there all the time.
Will you do Uber Eats? Will you make that?
We're not sure yet. We might. We've got an old
moped laying
around.
I understand.
We might get that up and going. And
we
want to
deliver, but it kind of like old school delivery thing, like in-house.
We'll
like
be seeing a food truck
yeah,
here.
maybe a food truck someday. We want to figure out the restaurant first, you know.
Which is his own animal.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
Yes. And we really love the idea of pop-ups, you know. So even with our regular business hours, like we're really open to, because we have Thursday, Friday, Saturday off. If people want us, we know football season's coming up.
So pop-ups, define exactly what you mean by that.
So not
something outside regular business hours,
yeah.
but just something in the restaurant that, like, if we're not open on a Friday, we might decide, you know, oh, the Lions are playing tomorrow, we're going to do a tailgate party or, yeah. you know, something like yes. we can. We have flexibility.
How do you get the word out on that? Will that pop up on my
social
feed?
Media? Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Which is probably where best where we need to go.
Yes.
And all that. And then my notes tell me that this is you have served several southern dishes. You defy categorization.
Yes.
Yes.
So, Sundays. So, I mean, I grew up on soul food and southern food. My dad's family is from Mississippi. My dad's from Mississippi. So it's kind of how I learned to cook,
yes.
I want to say. But since then, I've stepped in, and especially meeting Sarah and meeting with Chris, working with Chris Mattson at Silva, I've been able to like level up the types of dishes that I make, and it's not just southern food, but I think in Grand Rapids we're also missing southern food, right? There's so many big cities where there's so many southern food options, but we can make anything. And like I said, it's just the season for that now.
Yes. And don't you have a background in yoga or other?
Correct.
Venues?
Yep. Yes. Wellness, Reiki.
Yeah.
Yoga. Yes,
so one can eat healthily.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And
or
that's
80.
Something that Dolly and I have really worked on. Yes. In our relationship. You know, we have a big age gap, so eating cleaner is something that he has come into in the last couple of years, and cooking cleaner.
Yeah.
So that's not something we want to advertise, but it's big for us. You know, eating clean and balancing and fueling your body is really important to us. So it's, while it's not in the forefront of messaging, we're definitely thinking about that, you know, when we put a lot of love into our food and our sourcing of ingredients to make sure that people are the healthiest that they can be.
Eat clean, 80% of the time. Eat dirty, 20%
correct.
Of the time.
Yeah. Correct.
That? I'll believe in that. What do you leave us with, Deli Minima?
If you want some good food that's loved on and feel like you spent your money and fill in your soul, then just come check out Watusi and you won't be disappointed at all.
Great. All right. Sarah Andrew, give me the details one more time, your opening and how I find out more information.
Well, it's called Watusi. It's going to be a new staple in our community, and we're just very excited. 1220 College.
Wonderful. Follow along on Watusi on social media.
Correct.
At this point, yes. All right. Okay, I'll be in for rice and beans.
Yay, thank you for having us.
Thank you all. You rock. Your inspiration for the day, according to William Shakespeare, love all, trust a few, do wrong to none. Hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Shelley Irwin. Have a great weekend.